Infertility is defined as the inability to conceive after 1 year of unprotected intercourse, 6 months if the woman is over the age 35, or the inability to carry a pregnancy to live birth. Every 1 in 8 women will face this battle, and African American women are 1.5 times more likely to experience infertility. If you, a loved one, or a friend is experiencing this, in today's message, I will share tools that will help you be an encouragement and help you cope with going through infertility. I will also share with you my own experience and how I tended to feel and overcome in this battle. I want you to be able to continue to enjoy your life and live in the freedom God has for you, even when facing a disease is difficult and consuming as infertility. Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever it is to you, wherever you're watching from. And you're probably watching this video if you have found me online somehow, or maybe you already know me personally, or you're a member of our church, Convergence Church, that my pastor and my husband, he's my pastor and my husband, Corey Lee, pastors, and I co-pastor with him. Whatever way you are watching this video, I want to welcome you into a place of peace, a place of rest in God, a place where you may be able to get at least some comfort and maybe some answers to some questions. You're also probably here today because either you have a friend, a loved one, or someone that's very special. It may even be yourself that is going through an infertility battle with reproductive health. And this is a topic that is very personal to my life. It's something that I have been battling with for 11 years now, and it can really, really begin to seep your joy, to seep your energy, to seep your time, to seep your finances, to a place where you're like, God, I just need you to do this. I know you can do it. I know that you have the resources, you have the power to do it because you're all powerful. Yet and still, it's a battle that he allows to remain there. And that can bring us through tremendous grief. It can bring us to a place where we are trying to figure it all out. Why would a good God put me in this situation? Is God punishing me? Or like someone here said, I keep thinking that I should have tried for a baby earlier. Is it my fault? And there's a lot of questions that go through people's head of guilt, of blaming your partner for it, especially if your partner is the one that has the health issue causing the infertility struggle. And it can really disrupt and bother a marriage and a home. So today we're going to dig into some coping mechanisms as you're believing God for that final breakthrough, whatever that looks like, whether he just completely heals your body and you're able to have that child that you've been dreaming and hoping for, or whether he leads you into foster care adoption, whether he leads you into traditional adoption, the adoption of a baby straight out of a mother's womb, whatever it is that God has in mind, we want to be able to tap into that, and we want to hear his voice, and we want to keep our joy through this process, and we also want to learn any type of spiritual lessons that we can learn as we're going through this journey of life. We want to find a way to enjoy every moment, even when we're going through challenges, rejoicing in all our circumstances, even when that feels absolutely impossible. And I'm telling you, as someone going through this, that you can and you will make it through this, no matter how difficult it is. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every person that is watching this video, this podcast episode, that may be listening to this podcast episode on infertility. It's such a sensitive area of our life. It's an area that many times we don't know who to turn to. We feel all alone. We feel like people don't get us, and it is heart-wrenching for a woman to go through this, and even their husbands, even men to go through this battle of what they never expected their life to turn out like or look like. But we know that you are in control, and as long as we continue to cry out to you, bring our complaints before you, communicate with you. You will work everything out for our good. We bless you and we glorify you in every circumstance today. And I pray for total peace of mind. I pray for revelation and understanding, for insight and direction for whoever may be viewing this and listening to this podcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, what is infertility? Infertility can be defined as the inability to conceive after a one year period of unexpected intercourse. So uninterrupted intercourse. It is also 6 months if you're older than the age of 35. So if you're over 35 years old, then it's when you have uninterrupted intercourse without any type of birth control, and you've been doing that for 6 months, and for some reason you're still not able to carry a pregnancy to live birth. This can also include people that have multiple miscarriages. Like, you have probably all heard about someone that has tried 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and they keep having miscarriages, and it's such a painful grieving process for that woman. Now, for me, that has not happened to me, but I have been fighting infertility, both knowingly and unknowingly, with unprotected intercourse for over 11 years now. And sometimes people may say, well, why would you share that with people publicly? Why not hold that in and keep that to yourself? Isn't it hard enough to go through a journey like that and to have to deal with it, even with other people not having their comments and their input and just not knowing how to respond? And yes, the answer is very true, but I'm doing this primarily because God has led me to do this. And then also because of the lack of education on this specific topic with women in general, and then also with African American women. I found out recently that African American women are 1.5 times more likely to be infertile than women of any other race or nationality. And that really grips my heart, because I have a strong passion to see Black women prosper and succeed in every area of their life. Now, this journey for most women does not start when they try to get pregnant. It has been some reproductive problems well before they ever got to that point. So if you're a mother and you are raising a daughter, whether she's an infant or a teenager, you want to begin to make sure that she's getting all the vitamins, all the nutrients her body needs now, that she is continuing to have her menstrual cycle every single month, especially if she's an athlete. For years, I was an athlete. And a lot of my friends and even me at periods, you just stop having your menstrual cycle. That's what happened to Jackie Joyner Kersee as well. Just because you are running so hard and you're using so many nutrients in your body, and literally the movement in your body can begin to shift your uterus and your body out of position, and you're off centered. And so then you have to go through a corrective process. And for some people that requires even surgery. So you want to make sure that if your daughter is an athlete and if she is training in any way or form, and even if she's not an athlete, that her hormonal levels are on the right levels, that her progesterone is right, that she's having her cycle, and you're just watching out for things like cysts or fibroids, that if ever she gets a STD, that she's cared for immediately and taken care of, because all those things can interrupt her reproductive health in years to come. And unfortunately, most of us women are waiting longer. That's not unfortunate, but we're waiting longer. We're not aware of the need to be healthy, or we're trying to lose weight and then things are getting off balance because you need a certain amount of weight sometimes on your body for your hormonal levels to be where they need to be. So with all that said, no one that I know of expects to become infertile, except for recently, now that all this is coming up with women waiting longer, going into their careers and not being able to have children. Now people may be fearing it more, but back in the day, people didn't fear it as much. It wasn't talked about as much as it is now. And we're starting to see more and more advances in medicine and in awareness of the struggle with women. But most of us don't think that we're going to have a problem with this. We get married, we're going to get married, we're going to have kids, and we're going to have a happy family like everybody else. It just naturally happens. You have sex, you get pregnant. But that doesn't happen to everyone. And in fact, 1 in 8 women do not have that child instantly, or they have some type of problems with reproductive health and being able to get pregnant. So this is not as uncommon as we may think. We just don't talk about it because it's such a private issue. I was not one of those women that plans out my whole life as far as my wedding, all the colors, my gown, where I was going to have it, and sat there and dreamed about it. I did plan my house. I thought, I'm going to be a professional athlete, so I'll have a really big mansion, and I had a certain lifestyle I thought I was going to be living, but I didn't think about marriage in detail. I didn't think about how many children I was going to have. I just wasn't one of those type of women because I was so focused on my running career. Yet and still, subconsciously, there was clearly an expectation that God wasn't going to let me down in this area. This was going to happen. I was going to, number one, go to college. Number two, get married. Number three, run professionally. Number four, live in a mega home. And number five, have children. Number six, live happily after. That's just in my mind how I thought my life would be, even if it was a subconscious expectation. Now, what happens once that doesn't happen and you go into your OBGYN office, you sit down with them and they say, "Hi, how are you doing? What are you here for today?" "Oh, it's just my checkup." And then you start talking and you mention to them, "You know, I think that I'm ready to get pregnant." And then they say, "Well, how long have you been trying?" "Well, I haven't been trying. I really am trying." This is a process most women go through. And then they say, "Well, if it's been over a year, then technically your women are considered infertile after a year of having unprotected sex and not having a child yet." And that brings you into a state of shock, because pretty much what they're saying to you at that point is you are infertile and you have a medical issue. And then they may suggest different options for you. And you go into shock and you go into confusion sometimes, and anger, and all these different emotions come up for women that struggle with this. And this is so important to understand that this is normal if you're going through this today. And if a friend or a loved one's going through it, to understand how bad that can affect them emotionally and mentally. Questions start to come up of, does God love me? If he loves me, how come this isn't happening? Things that are normal become very hard, like going to a baby shower can become a crisis. Being around pregnant women can become devastating to this woman. And I just think it's so important that we have an awareness that that is a normal feeling for a woman that's going through this, and that if you know someone going through this, it will help you be sensitive to their battle. And so I wasn't even thinking about it personally, but over time, as I began to realize I was childless and I'm a pastor's wife, I am constantly helping women with every area of their life, but particularly with getting married and having children. And I've walked through probably 8, 9, or 10 different pregnancies with women, and even been there playing a dual role helping deliver these children. And that was heart-wrenching for me, because at times people just in good intention didn't know how to communicate with me or respond to me in regards to me not having children. And it's easy for people to judge you or to think that because you don't have children, you know nothing about babies, you know nothing about children. So as time went on and on, it became very painful for me. I began to realize that I had a really great desire to be a mother, and that became a battle. Why would God give me a desire to have a child and then I can't do it? There's something wrong with my body. As an athlete, that's even harder, because your body is what has always been like your prized possession, and now it's not working. So this has gotten harder and harder, not having a family of my own as I've gotten older. And this is the story of me, but I'm not telling you it because it's my story. This is the story of many women that, for whatever reason, cannot publicly talk about this. And when the truth sank in for me, doctors' visits began, reports came back. It's a disease. It's a sickness. Multiple surgeries came and I was at a loss for words. My heart was in shock and shattered to pieces, not because I didn't have faith, but because infertility is a grieving process. And in the church world, we're taught that we can't doubt. We have to trust God. We cannot have those moments of breakdown. We have to be strong people of faith. And then when you add on top of that, the Black culture, sometimes Black women are supposed to just hold it all together. And that's who I was at that time. I had to hold it all together. People didn't even know what I was going through. I particularly did not know. I had a major lack of education, which I would say 99% of us probably do in this area. And the chances being 1.5 times higher of people of my skin complexion to have children. Yet, you know, here's another startling statistic, and I've studied everything you can imagine on the Black community and our stats, and especially Black women. So I'm like, wow, I didn't know there could be another stat that would hit so close home, but I didn't even hear about it before. And I just said, like, will this ever end? All the ways that the ramifications of slavery have affected the Black community, and this is another one. So I have what media presents as my image of this infertile woman. There's a big myth out there that this doesn't happen to Black women. It's this rich, or at least upper middle class, white woman, celebrity type that's walking into the clinic, getting this IVF treatment, or having a surrogate child. And that's not really true, that she's the only image of a woman that's going through a battle like this, but that's all that I had ever seen. Those are the people that I've seen speak publicly about it. And it never even crossed my mind that Black women were struggling with this even more than other women, which is apparently a very strong myth that wasn't isolated just to my own perspective. So why do Black women face this at a higher rate? Well, according to Resolve, the National Infertility Association, many of the factors leading to this higher incidence is our hesitation to visit the doctor. It's very simple. The hesitation to go to the doctor, as well as higher rates of conditions such as fibroids. Everyone knows that fibroids are higher with Black women than other races. And so we have a higher chance of having fibroids, and then that affects your reproductive health. And one way to squash this myth is just to start talking. By open and honest and guilt-free, this is huge, guilt-free dialogue, we can step towards removing the stigmas that are holding so many of us hostage. You know, there is a stigma that if you do this, especially in a church, you're cursed or something's wrong with you or God's angry with you or he's punishing you. Well, we don't do that with cancer. You know, we don't do that with some of the other diseases. Maybe some people do. But with this, because of the stories throughout the Bible and people's misinterpretations of it, there's one woman that the Bible talks about that the Lord judged because of her interaction with her husband, David. But the rest of the stories are actually the Lord's hand on these women's lives and his timing. And so we want to be careful with our judgments and mentalities about people that are going through this. And this is why sharing our stories is so, so helpful, and why I'm just finding the grace to do it, and why I'm so openly sharing my own faith journey through this sometimes really grueling process. And it's healing for me to share. But this battle doesn't just happen on a first-time basis. There's something called secondary infertility. And so some people are like, man, I had a child. What's going on? How come it's been 5 years? I can't seem to get pregnant again. And that sometimes is even more crushing, especially for women that aren't expecting that and thinking that nothing's wrong. And so it's a problem. And we can go into all the reasons why, but that's not what this is about. Maybe another time I'll talk about our food industry. I'll talk about chemical imbalances. I'll talk about preservatives. But for now, we just I just want to give you some ways to deal with this. Just like you deal with anger management, you deal with financial difficulty. There are ways to cope with this emotionally because it has such a strong emotional wear and tear on you. And I want to give you a resource as well. It's called Empty Wombs, Aching Heart. I'll put it on YouTube as a link, and it's on my website, jadelee.org, is a link to this blog podcast under the magazine, and it's by Marlo Shaleski. Okay. It's called Empty Womb, Aching Heart, and it has amazing stories in this book that will motivate you to keep pressing through or to find your place where you figure out purpose in the middle of all this. And there's stories of all different women that have been through this journey. So even if you can't find a physical support group, this book can be a great support and help to you or a loved one that may be dealing with this. Now, here's a few facts about infertility that I believe will help you. They have helped me with this very painful reality for every 1 in 8 women. The first one is guilt. Don't allow guilt to become your guide or your friend. When facing this sickness, it is so easy, and it should be the opposite, but especially as a Christian, in a Christian context, in a Christian world, sometimes the church is the people that hurt us the most with this, to believe that you have received God's judgment or the judgment of Michal, you know, and God is punishing you. For years, I thought that way. And then the thoughts begin to go on to all the wrongs that you've done in your past. Man, I had sex with somebody outside of marriage, or a man of God that I might have offended or said something about. And then the enemy just tries to plague your mind with those thoughts. But I want to encourage you to resist this urge and know that God loves you unconditionally, that the finished work of the cross forgives you for everything that you have ever done. And he gives you a new, fresh start. The Bible says his mercies are new every day. And although there may be some consequences that are biblically consequences for actions that people have, the finished work of the cross is what redeems our sins and breaks every curse. The Bible says that Jesus became sin to overcome the sin in our lives. How amazing is that? Someone else took our place for that judgment. He forgives, he loves, and it says that by his stripes we are healed, so we don't have to receive any form of sickness spiritually. The majority of infertile women are not being condemned because of their sin. It's just a medical issue that they're dealing with and that they're working through. And it just really comes down to this world that we live in where everything's not perfect anymore. So I want to encourage you with that. That's a big trap that the enemy puts in the mind of women that are struggling with this. Secondly is self-blame. So number one is guilt. Second is self-blame. Self-blame are the blame of your spouse is not healthy, and it can rip apart your marriage and it can rip you apart. What are you saying to yourself? You know, my heart just goes out for you and for even myself and other women in this situation to think healthy thoughts about ourselves. When we face a situation that is absolutely beyond and out of our control, it is so hard not to search for a reason why and find someone to blame. But infertility is no one's fault. Starting with God, we want to know why. And then why me? And why do I have to go through this and other women don't? And why are all these other women getting pregnant and I can't seem to get pregnant? Why isn't my body cooperating? There's nothing like your own body being the thing you're fighting against sometimes. What's wrong with me? Why does God not love me? Why is my spouse's body broken? As all these storms of thoughts and questions begin to rage in your mind, it is so important to remind yourself of the love that Jesus has for you, even in a plan that is nowhere near, when your life looks nothing like what you expect. And most of us, we're going to come to that place in life in general where our life looks nothing like we expect, then we have to give our life back to him. And that can be the hardest thing, but the most freeing thing at the same time. At the end of the story, in the midst of the conflict, we will find peace and a plan beyond what we could see. Instead of blaming our spouse or blaming ourselves or blaming the Lord, sometimes we got to go through that process of blaming the Lord. He can handle it and letting it go. Let's work together with our spouse and to find the healing that we need. Third one is joy. Guilt is the first one. Self-blame is the third one. And then finding joy. or a second one, and third one is finding joy. Finding the joy of the Lord is a battle. It's a battle that some days when you're going through something like this, you do great in, and other days you just struggle. And that's reality, and it's okay. God understands. So it's an active and sometimes daily pursuit that we need in this walk. We have to press into His joy when we want to give up and when we want to wallow in our situation. Ours is, it's just so hard because it's everything in your life becomes about this issue. Hours of medical situations, looking at your charts, looking at your temperature, looking at hospital bills that are unexpected, all these challenges that are coming up that you don't expect, making a bunch of decisions. What do I eat? What don't I eat? What do I put in my body? Am I stressed right now? Can't be stressed. There's so much that can suddenly start to consume your life. But I came to a point where I had to let it all go. I had to forget about it to a certain degree and get determined that I'm going to find things I enjoy, hobbies I enjoy, activities I enjoy, taking a warm bath, just letting go, gardening, going on nice walks. I had to enjoy the moments of life I had. And I just decided one day, I'm not going to allow infertility to steal my life away. I'm going to focus on the blessings in front of me and not what I don't have, but what do I have to find joy beyond my situation. Okay, next is find a support group. This may start with your husband, a doctor, even just one friend. I don't have many friends that I can talk about this to that know how to respond, but I have one or two friends that I can confide in. And even there's infertility groups across the nation that you can get involved in. And this is going to be a needed journey to find that support that seems to be inconsistent day by day. It's a journey that seems to be inconsistent day by day. And so sometimes we just need stable support around us. We all have our good days and our bad days. And that doesn't mean you're less of a Christian or a woman. It just means that you're going through a real battle. And there's the really dire ones that these days that just, we feel like our life has all fallen apart because of this issue. And we need someone that's understanding and that has a listening, non-judgmental ear. Don't feel guilty to say no. That's the next one. You may be awesome. Some people love working in the church nursery. They love going to baby showers. It doesn't affect them. But other people, their worst day of their life is Mother's Day. They don't want to go work in a nursery. They can't handle a baby shower because for the next 2 weeks, they're just in crisis. I've heard a woman that it just shut down for like 3 days straight. They're just in the bid. They've had to change jobs because they're just around children and it's too much. Or they're around women's church groups or a small group at your church where everyone your age, just that's just how it is, getting pregnant and getting married and having more kids. And they're talking about it. That's their life. And it can just be overwhelming. So don't be afraid to leave the church group, you know, or to switch out, not show up to the baby shower and just give a gift instead, or to do something at home on Mother's Day and just do things you enjoy. It's okay to say no for your emotional health. It's okay to take a leave of absence and do something that's going to get your mind off of what you do not have because of something beyond your control. Okay, two more. Know when to let go of the battle if it gets too much. Now, this is a hard one, but I've just heard of a woman. And at first, when I first was going through this journey, I was like, I could never see myself doing this. But now, as I've developed over time, I could see myself just saying, this is the point where I'm like, I can't continue my whole life being around this issue. So one of the most freeing moments in the fight for me has been letting go, but not after a lot of wrestling. One day, I just simply decided that I had to give this over to the Lord, that I really trust Him, and I can trust His sovereignty over my life, and He's the only one that can cause my womb to be filled, whatever way He decides to do that. And I'm going to refocus on what He has for me to give to others right now. Other people, they've just decided they don't want to take any more treatments. They don't want to go through all the medications they have to go through and vitamin intake and charting. and it's just too much for them, so they need a break or they just stop and they decide to adopt. It's okay to do that. If that's your conviction, know your convictions, because there's so many different options out there. Figure out, pray about what is your conviction, write it down with your spouse, and then decide what are you open to doing, what aren't you open to doing. And then go, the biggest thing I could tell you is go before the Lord and seek His face and listen to His voice and what He is saying to you over this issue. And that might not happen right away, but if you keep going before Him, He's going to give you clarity. He's going to confirm to you what He wants for your life. And you're going to get through this, and you're going to know for without a shadow of a doubt what He is speaking to you. And finally, if you need to, get counseling. From what everything that I've read and heard and studied on this, most couples facing infertility are going to have at least one time period where they fight depression. And sometimes this can get overwhelming to a point where you need professional help. And this, I know, again, in the Black community may not be as prevalent going to get counseling. Everyone, there's a stigma that it means you're crazy. No, it just means that you're going through a really hard time and you need someone that can, that's professional enough to know how to listen to you and talk to you through this battle. So going to get counseling is going to be a blessing to you. Sometimes it can get overwhelming to a point where you just need someone to listen to you so that you can get over this hump and continue to live your life in a world that's full of babies. It's full of parents, of baby aisles. I remember a time where just going in the Target was like, oh, it's overwhelming. Like every time I will walk by the baby section, I'm having a crisis. The grocery store, the diaper aisle, you might have to avoid some of those things. But getting counseling and talking to someone, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a professional counselor, can be really freeing if they have experience on how to handle your emotions. These are just daily reminders of how your life should be, but it's not. And so that can be very frustrating, but talking to someone can help you get through that really emotional, hard time. Many couples benefit from at least one season of having a listening ear that knows what to say in such a sensitive area. And most people don't know what to say at all. So they just make up something, they blurt it out, and it's really hurtful. Or they just say the wrong things with good intentions. So hopefully sometime soon I will make another magazine post, blog post, do another podcast on what do you say, what don't you say to someone that's going through something like infertility, and how do you bless them and best love them in the midst of their pain as a parent, as a brother, as a sister, as a friend that just wants to be there. You can be pregnant. You can be the most fertile person with 10 kids, and you learn how to comfort someone that's going through this. So there's many more tips that I could give you on fighting through this battle. But all in all, I know that I'm praying for you, that if you want to email me any questions or you just want someone to listen to you, you can email me at info@jadelee.org, and I will stand with you as much as I can. I will pray with you. I'm willing to listen. You're not alone. There are many other women going through this, and you're going to make it through this. If you know someone that's struggling with infertility, or maybe you're going through this yourself, please share this message with them. Share this video, share this podcast. Maybe it might be just the hope they need to make it through one more day of faith. Father, I thank you for every person that's listening, that's watching, and that's being blessed by this word today. I pray that you will give hope where hope seems impossible, that you will give joy and rejoicing where joy and rejoicing seems like it's absolutely impossible, that you will mature and you will use this as you have used it in my life to mature me even more in you, to cause me to grow in you more, to cause me to say, I won't let go of you, Lord, no matter what I'm going through. I'm going to continue to trust you. I'm going to continue to serve you. I'm going to continue to give you my all, and I'm going to find you in the middle of this. I'm going to find your peace and joy, and I'm going to find a way to fight through, be a warrior, and continue to enjoy my life, love my husband, and bless other people's lives. If you're going through this, your life is not over. You are more than an overcomer. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's sensitive and emotional talk on infertility. I pray today's podcast has been a lift to your heart as you press into the joy that is much needed in this sort of battle. Remember, joy is different than happiness. We can have it beyond our circumstances as we keep our eyes on the Lord. Please join me next week as I continue the series of healing the African American community. If you would like to donate to Inspiring Lives, send a donation by logging on to www.jadelee.org so that we can continue to bless more women's lives. Inspiring Lives with Jade Lee is an outreach of jadelee.org.